Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, have you ever had to, or have you ever felt the desire to leave your church and find a new church? And do you battle that? Was it a hard decision? Was it an easy decision? I think sometimes it can be easy, but oftentimes I think we need to be aware of our own sin and aware of our own shortcomings and be realistic about the fact that, especially as Americans, we have a tendency to be a bit, well, let's say, I don't know, a little bit picky, a little bit kind of on the demanding side. We have the power of the purse in most circumstances, and so we can be like consumers. I mean, when's the last time you went to a fast food restaurant? Let's say it's McDonald's, and we say fast food, and calling it food is a stretch, obviously. But let's say you go to McDonald's, and you come around, and you order your meal, and they say, oh, will you pull down past the next window and pull over there in the parking place, and we'll bring it out to you in a couple of minutes, and you're ready, perhaps, to burn the place to the ground because it's supposed to be fast food, and now they're going to ask you to wait an extra 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, and that's just ridiculous for McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, wherever you happen to go. And so that, I think, can we have that problem in church, have a consumer mentality, I'm not getting what I want, and their programs aren't what we need, and so because I'm not getting what I want, and then I'm not being fed, then I'm going to go to a new church. And is that always wrong? Or are there some circumstances where, hey, you know, some churches are more geared towards new believers and kind of seeker sensitive, and they can take you from kindergarten to eighth grade, but there's not really a lot of high school stuff going on there, and there's certainly not any college stuff or advanced degree stuff, and definitely not any PhD. And so you got to move on. And there's some churches out there, I know of churches out there that would plain old tell you, yeah, you know what, we're really geared towards new believers or inquisitive people, kind of seeker sensitive. But if you really want to get deep into the scriptures and get really deep in discipleship and what you're learning, you're not going to get that in the regular programs here. So, and I appreciate that about some churches that are honest, but I want to open up the phones and just ask you about your experience, your challenges, your questions on leaving a church. When is it the right time? When do you have to leave a church? And when maybe just may you leave a church? That, you know, the option's okay. Or when is it wrong to leave a church? And what about consumerism? What about sin in the pulpit, bad leadership, whatever it is? But just curious what your thoughts are on when is the right time to leave a church, any questions you have, and we'll work through this together. I've got a bunch of great resources here that I've been reading. I have this conversation with people. It kind of comes and goes, but I can guarantee you it comes up every year in my personal life. So I want to make sure we're talking about the things that we all deal with. And maybe you're struggling right now with whether you should stay at your church or not. And without naming a name or naming a church, you want to call on it and just kind of work through it. And let's talk about this. Let's reason through this as we're called to do in the scriptures. 866-348-7884. When is the right time to leave your church? Or are you always just being a selfish consumer? You hear that all the time, right? If you don't like the music, you don't like the pastor, you don't like his preaching, and if you leave, you're just a consumer-minded scumbag, and you're wrong. And so you stay and you suffer. How much of that is on your side? And how much of it should the church own? Should the individual local church that you attend, what do they have a responsibility to? So I'll share a lot of different articles and things that I've found. But I want to hear your experiences and your thoughts on the subject as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Is the number. And especially if you've been down this road and you've struggled with it, maybe you're a pastor. And if you're a pastor and you're listening, I would really love to hear from you. That would be a blessing to get your perspective. Oftentimes you're the last one to know. And a lot of people up and leave a church. They never talk to their pastor. And is that the right? Do you just kind of leave? And if you're past, if nobody notices, perhaps that's telling you something. Maybe about you or maybe about the church. 866-348-7884, or perhaps you believe that it's always wrong, that if you go check out other churches, that's like basically church infidelity, and you're just self-centered and a consumerist. And if you believe that, if you think that it's always wrong to do that, then you know, call and share that as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I have some bad reasons to leave your church. I have some good reasons to leave your church. I have another thing. Seven commandments for choosing a church. What should you look for? I listened to a podcast from John Piper, who I respect a lot. I think he's got great fidelity to the scriptures. And it's not specifically handled in the New Testament, because when they're writing letters to the church in Corinth or Ephesus, you're talking to a group of believers in a particular area. The church, quite frankly, had not developed to that point yet, where you had a whole bunch of options all over the place. And it was like going to the mall. Well, and you know, down here in the South where I live in North Carolina, there really are churches in, if it seemed like, just about every other corner. So you have all kinds of options. But back in the New Testament days, they didn't. And it was a group of believers there in a particular area. And when Paul would write him a letter, he's writing to all the believers in a particular area, not a church at 123 Parkway Boulevard. So what are you dealing with? What are you encountering? And have you been down the road of struggling with changing churches, or have you left a church? 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to jump right quick to Mackenzie, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Mackenzie, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. So my husband and I had this last year in the summer. We were confronted with this situation because we were members and loved the church. Biblical teachings were, you know, extraordinary. And what had happened is, as a newly wedded couple, we were noticing that as a couple, we were being called to a ministry of our own of mentoring marriage couples, or, you know, pre-marriage counseling, or a couple, you know, whatever. I'm not as licensed therapist, but we're being called to mentor young married couples. And we got certified in Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts at Liberty University. And we were excited because we were actually getting people calling us from different small towns around Greensboro, wanted us to minister to them. And so we were excited, and we went to our church and said, hey, you know, can we offer this for people in the church? And we didn't get a no. It was just, you know, something like, well, not now, and like that. And that went on for months. And then what started happening is, because we
Well, Mackenzie,
had
can I put you on hold, Mackenzie? I'm up against a hard break. I'll put you on hold, and I'll pick you up right on the other side of the break. When is it right to leave your church? Have you struggled with that? Have you been down that road? Or is it always wrong? 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. When's it the right time to leave your church? And how do you know if you're just being a consumer? You're just kind of, hey, want what you want, and you want different music or better music, and you want a different style of preaching, or you're not happy with the kids program, or your kids aren't getting plugged in with the youth group. I mean, what's the right time to leave a church? And when are you, quite frankly, when are you wrong? So your thoughts on that, I would love to hear from you today. And if you're experiencing that, we're going to go back to Mackenzie right quick, who is sharing her story. But if you're experiencing that, if you've been down this road, I have. I'll share a little bit about our experience in switching churches, which was very difficult. It took 4 years for me to get to the point where we actually made the change. And it was not easy. And by the way, most of the time, I don't think it should be easy. If it's super easy, it better be based on some really clear bad teaching, some heresy, some really sinful stuff. But most of the time, this should be not a very easy decision based on everything I've experienced and everything I've learned. But what have you learned? What do you think about when is it time to leave your church? And if you struggle with that, 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go back to Mackenzie. Mackenzie, thanks so much for spending some time on hold. But you and your husband got trained. You were going to be doing some mentoring to young couples.
Yeah.
Had some opportunities, but your church wasn't so excited about it. Is that right?
No, and we weren't even allowed to announce it or go up in front of the, you know, to say, hey, programs are coming to this area that married couples here might be interested in. You know, we've been through them. We'd like to encourage you. You know, we couldn't get any of that. We couldn't talk to any married couples in the church that we knew were struggling. And then because, you know, then we went into deep prayer for months over this, because we felt like, well, it, what are we doing wrong? Like, yeah, you know, we used to look like at our sinful selves first, like, what are we doing? That is there something we're doing wrong and causing anything that's not right? And then what happened is our eyes opened. Paul is stupid because it's like, well, Paula, why did you join a church that didn't have these certain things? And what? And it was only then that I noticed, so here's what I noticed. There were nobody in the church doing any ministry. There were no groups. There was no support group for me as a mom with a teenage son that I was struggling with, and I'd have to go stand off in the corner and whisper to somebody else that I found out had issues. But there was no, I asked, well, can't we have a support group? And they said, no. Mm. You go in private to your pastor. That's how we do it here. And then it was kind of like, oh, okay, so I think we're getting the message here. Our skills won't ever be allowed here. Like, and we want to be marriage mentors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you want to.
He left.
And was it, Mackenzie, for you and your husband, was it a matter of, you know, first and foremost, perhaps you definitely wanted to be able to use that training and that gifting and that calling within the confines of your own local church, and then also outside of your church, but it's kind of like Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Was that a deep desire that, boy, I wish we could be in a church where we could actually serve the church this way?
Yes, we wanted a church that embraced us, made us feel like we were part of something bigger than just the two of us doing it on the side, like we were sneaking around at night doing it with couples calling us from, you know, finding us on a website.
Right,
and
right.
So it was like going undercover all of a sudden, and it didn't feel good. So we did, you know, leave and joined another church that not only embraced us, they've already trained us, and, you know, it's just, and we're part of a team of 25 people.
Wow. Now, did you, Mackenzie, on your way out of your other church, did you meet with anybody on your way out, or were you just all of a sudden, you're gone?
We made, you know, a private, you know, letter written to our pastor and associate to let them know, like, through hard, you know, prayer and searching that we were going to be leaving, and, you know, would you like to have a conversation with us? And it was, oh, yes, we would. And within the week, we tried to set up a time, and our schedule didn't jive with theirs. And they never asked us again, never called us back, never tried to make the meeting happen, and nobody ever says goodbye to us.
Yeah, so.
And it was, that made me even more sad.
Absolutely. Understandable. Well, Mackenzie, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us. That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. That's a situation, a gifting, a calling you have. If you can't use it in your local church, in your particular body of believers, is that the right time to leave? And then, of course, in Mackenzie's circumstance, looking at, well, maybe this is a symptom of something much deeper, and it appeared that maybe you're in a church where there's just not a lot of ministry going on. It's kind of the pulpit thing. Sunday school, but not a lot of counseling, a lot of other things to round out that ministry. And what about that? What about spiritual gifting if you're not plugging in? And the question always is, well, are you willing to serve? Or are you only willing to serve if it's something that you want to do? Because I seem to recall reading somewhere about denying yourself and picking up your cross and following Jesus, which would not imply that life is always tiptoeing through the tulips, Shangri-La, everything working and going your way. But what do you think about leaving church? When's the right time to leave a church? And when is it wrong? When do you think it's consumerism? And any experience you've had personally? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And to my friends on Facebook Live, people moving, and Catherine's moving from one part of the country to another, wants to look for a church that is first biblically based and second sermons that teach, encourage, and convict, which should flow out of the first part, and a church that has small groups so you can have, you know, more intimate community. That's a big deal. Now, do you find small groups in the New Testament? No, I mean, the New Testament doesn't really talk about in the context of the modern church movement, where we have churches all over the place and all kinds of options. And although there are 350, 360, 370,000 quote-unquote churches in America, there's a whole lot of them that I have a problem with them calling themselves a church in terms of being biblically based. So I actually think the amount of choices that are solid biblical churches with solid biblical pastors is a lot smaller than real estate would lend you to believe. But what do you think? Is it ever okay, or when is it okay to leave your church and find a new one? 866-348-7884 7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Tim Challies is a great blogger, a great Christian thinker, has a lot of great articles, and I pulled one from his, When Should I Leave My Church? Here's some things he said I wanted to share. We live in an age of consumerism, and this leaves us accustomed to prioritizing our needs and even more so our desires above all else. We march out of stores that do not carry the products we want at the prices we demand, on and on and on. But church is an area where consumerism ought to be the furthest thing from our minds. At church, we are part of an involuntary community which is pieced together by God. We are placed under spiritual authorities and are to be subject to them. We need to be very careful then to examine our hearts and examine our motives before withdrawing membership from a church. Sadly, though, there are certain situations in which this becomes a necessity. Now, I'm going to read some more from this in a little bit, but he goes on to say, okay, there's times when you must leave, and then there's other times when you may leave. And I think it's important to know the distinction in that. When you must leave your church versus when you may leave your church. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to jump over here to Debbie right quick, who's calling in from Iowa and our Truth Radio affiliate up there. Debbie, thanks for calling. If I run out of time, I'll put you on hold and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. But go right ahead.
Okay. My family and I moved to a small town in Iowa, and we had two small boys who were recently adopted, and we were looking for a church that would help them through the adoption transition period and give them some good biblical foundation for their future faith. We tried one church, and the youth group there was so lax and unstructured that we knew that wasn't the place for them.
Yeah.
So we tried another small church.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold right quick, Debbie. Okay. I'm right up against the break. Hold on right quick, and I'll come back to Debbie's story. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to join.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Talking about a difficult subject today. When is the right time to leave your church? When do you have to leave your church? And when maybe is it just okay to leave your church? I was starting to read from an article by Tim Challies, who's a great Christian blogger and writer online. Christian Living's the name of his blog. Tim Challies, Challies, When Should I Leave My Church is the name of it. And he brings up these points that I'm going to get to in a minute. When you must leave and when you may leave, and that's a very important distinction. I've got some other things there, but would also want to talk through this with you. And we're talking to Debbie, who's listening to Truth Radio up in Des Moines, Iowa, and she's talking about, Debbie, so you moved to this smaller town. You're trying to find a church that really is kind of a special fit because you all were adopting some kids. Is that right?
That's right.
And so you went to one. So take us down that road. Thanks.
Okay. So we went to one, and the youth group was rather lackadaisical. They didn't have very much control over the kids. They seemed to run wild on their after-school church program. So we tried another one, another smaller church where we knew a lot of the people there. And they did have some kids and seemed like they had a decent Sunday school program that was very small. After a while, though, we realized that they had been having pastor problems. They had a hard time keeping a pastor. There seemed to be a lot of differences between the pastors and the congregation over and over again. So we were sent a pastor who was supposed to save our church. Evidently, he'd done this several times, gone into churches who were failing and full of conflict and brought them together. And at first it seemed fine. He was full of energy and just, you know, a real likable guy. But we realized eventually that he was not Bible-based. And he would seldom come with an actual sermon. He would read a scripture, but then it had very little to do with what he talked about. And it just didn't seem to be very spiritual. He was more concerned about good works and telling people about his good works and asking for gifts on his birthday, kind of things that you just don't expect to hear from the pulpit.
Yes. Yeah.
And then on a Christmas Eve service, he, rather than teaching, you know, from the Christmas story, he told children's stories, books about how Robin Redbreast got his red chest and the littlest angel and things that were totally non-biblical.
Yeah.
We really started to wonder what was going on. And then our boys got old enough to be in a confirmation class, which the pastor taught, as it should be. But he basically used the kids as a work group. They were cast into helping with everything that happened in the church. And even during their their class periods, they were cleaning up the little construction projects or helping decorate this or that. And
how long, not really, Debbie, how long did you guys end up staying at this church before? It obviously sounds like you ended up leaving.
Well, maybe 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was convenient, and it took us a while to realize that there was something better.
That's
but
a great point.
When our boys were getting ready to finish the confirmation class, I really had my doubts about all of this, because I did not want them to be cookie-cutter Christians, just simply go from confirmation to confession of faith to baptism with no feeling or understanding of what was going on. And it sealed the deal for me when I asked one of them, so are you ready to take communion? And he said, what is that?
Wow.
So, yeah, I knew we needed to go looking.
Yep.
And so we actually tried a few churches in the denomination that I had grown up in, and we could not find anything that was truly alive. So I went looking on the internet, believe it or not, for a church. And I found an E-Free church in the Des Moines area that had some sermons actually recorded and that you could stream. And I really enjoyed hearing this particular pastor preach.
Yeah, Evangelical Free is very strong.
Yes. We visited the church. They immediately embraced us with all of the issues of adoption and the things that we were dealing with because of that. The pastor took a personal interest in our kids. He gathered...
How big is the church you ended up at?
Oh, I'm not sure of the membership. I'd say maybe 200 maximum.
Yeah. Okay.
It first started actually meeting in a school, and it was only about 7 years old at the time. That was 2 years ago.
Got it.
And then eventually a building was donated to the church by another E-Free church. The building had been... a community center.
What you ended up with, and I got to jump to some other calls, Debbie, but,
sure,
but basically,
sure.
You know, you got unbiblical versus biblical and scriptural teaching versus unscriptural teaching. And that's one of those situations where, the sooner the better if we're exposed to that, especially if we have kids in that environment. And that was a great decision on your part. Debbie, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. Let's jump over to Lynn, who's calling in from back here in North Carolina in Winston-Salem. Oh, we lost Lynn. Let's go to Bill. Who's also calling in. Bill, thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Just some background. I grew up in one of the major denominations. And, so that was my background. That was what I was used to. So when my wife and I rededicated ourselves back to church, that was the direction we went, because that's what I knew. And through various years... And numerous, I was in the military and numerous deployments. The church had really prayed us through some things, adoption as well. We had a really difficult adoption process. So the church that we were at and that we were members of were very praying, very loving, very great people. But from the pulpit was a struggle. It was Bible based, but it was very dry and it was very mundane and it was very it's hard to explain, but there was no energy, no life that just really perpetuated any joy for any. For very few of the congregation, and we and I had through deployments, through chaplain ministry that I was exposed to, there was a lot of joy, there was a lot of excitement, there was a lot of opportunity for to find enjoyment in worship and get out of the mundane. And
how old was the church? Was this a church that had been around for a long time, Bill?
150 years.
And then how long had the pastor been there?
Well, the pastor that we left under, he was the fourth pastor in about 10 years.
Oh yeah, that's good.
So and that's not uncommon for this denomination to have that kind of turnover. But it was just very, very dry and mundane. And through my opportunities and being long-standing with the church, I had opportunities to be in some of the leadership and some of the committees and try to insert some different, different looks and
yeah.
some things that would
maybe
show some growth. And I got told in one of the meetings in particular that that was not how the denomination is supposed to act.
Yeah, and I think, and Bill, I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. It brings up some great points. I appreciate you calling in today. And Bill, that's a great point. I mean, to sit there and go, okay, if it's dead, if the church is dead, if it's unwilling to change, if it's stuck in its ways, everybody, like, it's amazing what you can get comfortable with, and it's amazing how we like to stay in what's comfortable. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people. So all of a sudden, okay, there's no vibrancy. You got to ask that question because James McDonald, who's a really well-known teacher, really well-known pastor, has got a big ministry on the radio and everything. I heard him talking once at a pastor's conference, and he was the seminary that he went to. The guy teaching the preaching class is like, you need to keep your sermon, somewhere between 26, no more than like 32, 33 minutes long. Make sure you use a lot of illustrations, use as much humor as you can, because you got to keep people engaged. They get bored easily. People get bored easily. And James McDonald, I'll never forget that he said this. He goes, you know what? I wanted to stand up in class and say, hey, buddy, you know what? The problem isn't with the congregation getting bored. I think you're bored. I think you're bored with the word of God. You're bored with preaching. You're bored with the whole thing. And so you have to trick it up. Otherwise, you're not interested. And I think that's a great point. So if a church is alive and if the pastor is full of the Holy Spirit and preaching the word of God, unadulterated, uncompromising word of God, there is power in that. And we know that God's word never comes back void, but it always accomplishes what it's intended to, right? So you sit there and go, if a church is kind of dead, if there's not much going on, you got to question why. You always ask the question why. And then, and I appreciate what you did, it's get in there. Try to get in there and see if perhaps it's just a lack of interest and a lack of participation from the congregation and try to be an agent of change. Try to be a good person that comes in to bring that into the church. But is that really your job? Shouldn't the church itself, shouldn't the church leadership, the pastors, shouldn't they be excited about preaching the word of God and serving the kingdom and serving the community around you? And if they're not, there's something dangerous there. So when we come back, I'll take you through some of these great resources I have. When you must leave, when you may leave, when should I leave my church? When is it wrong to leave your church? We'll jump into that when we come back right after this. Steve Noble, great to be with you on the air once again. Have you ever struggled with leaving your church? And have you ever left your church? And several people called in and been down that road. My family's been down that road. And it was a very difficult thing to go through. For us, it wasn't bad doctrine. There wasn't bad theology. It was other issues that again, were, some of that was on us and some of it was maturity differences and things like that. But it wasn't this horrible thing, like our church was doing something wrong. It just became a season where it became a season for change. And so that would fall under this article I'm reading from Tim Challies, where he says, where you may leave versus you must leave. And some friends on Facebook Live are sharing as well. And by the way, if you want to join us on Facebook Live in the studio, and one of the things that's different on Facebook Live, our Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. That's the letter C, the number two, the letter A, C2A Radio. And you can join us on Facebook Live. Like during the commercial breaks, we still have a conversation. Now, I don't steal from the show content and keep that specific conversation going. I'll do a sidebar. We'll talk about something different. Or in this case, Wendy, our friend in Indiana, there's some really bad weather out there. If you live in the Midwest, you're seeing that going on. And she was sharing that with us. So we just stopped and prayed together. And that's an awesome thing about our Facebook Live side of the show. So if you want to join us, and some of you listen at night or the next day, depending on what market you're in. And if you want to join us live, we're always here 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, facebook.com/C2A Radio. Okay, back to this Tim Challies, because this is really good. When you must leave, most of the reasons you must leave
relate to leadership. If the leaders of a church show contempt and disregard for the Bible and for sound doctrine, you are called to separate yourself from them. Here are four situations in which the Bible tells you that you must leave a church. Number one, if the teaching is heretical. If the leaders of a church are teaching what is outright heresy, you must separate yourself from that church. Staying to fight the battle is likely to make less of a statement than separating yourself from the church and its leaders, declaring them the heretics that they are. That's pretty strong. Why'd you leave that church? Because they don't preach the Bible. There's no power there. They don't preach the Bible. They preach stories out of a kid's book, like one of our previous callers called in. And if that's heresy, you're out of there. That's not a fight for you to fight. That's leave vengeance and justice in that point with the Lord. He'll deal with that. But get out of there because you're being poisoned. If the leaders tolerate error from those who teach, Romans 16:17, we are called to separate ourselves from leaders who tolerate unbiblical alternatives to the doctrines that are most fundamental to the faith. Another one, if there is utter disregard for biblical church discipline, if a church refuses to call its people to the Bible standard of holy living, and if it refuses to exercise church discipline, you must remove yourself from that church. We were talking during the break on this one on Facebook Live. Most people have not seen a congregant removed from a church, church discipline. Problems in the staff and pastors, yes, but have you ever seen in your church a church member, a regular attender, asked to leave via church discipline? Because they were approached individually, they were approached by two or three leaders, and they refused to repent, they refused to deal with it, bring them in front of the church. This is all biblical. And then you throw them out. Why? For restorative purposes. I guess today we would call that tough love. But I can't tell you of a time where I've been in a church situation where a member of the staff was asked to leave. But I have never seen, and maybe because they didn't have to go as far as bringing it before the church. But I don't know of any circumstances where an individual member was asked to leave. But that's one of those places where they say if there's utter disregard for biblical church discipline, if they don't call anybody to that standard and are willing to make a move on it, and then according to Tim Challies in this article, you got to get out of there. If the church is marked by utter hypocrisy, this passage in 2 Timothy 3 refers to a particular kind of hypocrisy in which the church has the appearance of being marked by godliness and yet denies that the Holy Spirit is the true source of this godliness. Reformed churches have typically spoken of three marks of a true church: the faithful preaching of the Word of God, the proper administration of the sacraments, and church discipline. Okay, so that's where he's going at, where you must leave the church. Here's the second part of the article where he says you may leave. Now, I'll post this article on Facebook here on the Facebook Live broadcast today, facebook.com/C2A radio. You may leave. There are reasons for which we may choose to leave. Though they are not the kinds of reasons that will force you to leave a church, they may well be reasons that are good and wise. In all cases, the decision will require great care and much prayer. And I can say amen to that. It took us, my wife and I, it took us 4 years. That was mostly me. It took us 4 years to make the move from a church we had been at and grew spiritually, incredible fellowship, wonderful friends, long abiding friends. My two best friends are from that church. And it took us 4 years because it wasn't a theology issue. They loved the Lord. People loved each other. We were wanting to get a little harder and deeper teaching, and we had fallen into a rut as a family. Our kids were kind of in a rut, and I felt that we needed to kind of shock that. And also, one of the things that I didn't know that God was doing with me was I needed to be humbled, because at that church I was at and Called to Action had gotten started, and I was, you know, a big fish in a small pond in here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and everybody, you know, just about everybody knew me, and they knew what I had been doing. And so, oh, yes, Steve Noble, Called to Action, blah, blah, blah. When we switched to this other church, which was a lot bigger, I'll tell you this. I might have shared this on the air before. The first day we went in there, I'm walking through, and I know the senior pastor. He's a phenomenal teacher and more of a contemporary service than what we had come from, which we wanted. And I'm walking in there, you know, kind of my little swagger going, hey, I wonder if I know anybody here. And then immediately the Holy Spirit arrested me and made me realize that my real question, my heart question wasn't, I wonder if I know anybody here. It was, I wonder if anybody here knows me. Now, the smackdown is happening right there in the middle of the service. And then, as if speaking in a still small voice, God impresses on my spirit, hey, Steve, if I'm the only one that knows you're here, is that enough for you? If nobody knows you,
Nobody knows your call to action stuff, your radio stuff, your teaching, whatever. Nobody knows your Christian resume. But I know you're here. If it's just you and me, is that enough for you? Like, oh, man. I didn't know I needed to be humbled like that, but I did. And I praise the Lord for it. It had a profound impact. But here's the you may leave if you desire better teaching. The Bible does not forbid you from leaving one church to go to another that offers better teaching. In general, this should be done not merely because a particular pastor is a better teacher, but because another church has a more sound understanding of what compromises good teaching. Here's another one. If you desire to use your gifts, we had a caller earlier talking about this. If you have sought to use your God-given gifts and talents within your current church and have found no place to use them, you may wish to find a church where those gifts will be useful and where they will be appreciated. Here's another one. If you desire a more convenient location, isn't that interesting? A decision may simply come down to convenience, where attending one church may save you a lot of time or allow you to serve in a local community instead of a distant one. That might be a family decision. If it better serves your family. Now, this is Tim Challey's writing in his blog. He's not some lightweight, flickety Christian guy that bops all over the place. So he's sound. If it better serves your family, it may be that your children are the only ones within a church. Moving to another church may open up many opportunities for them to grow in the faith or to serve within the church. So is it always wrong? Should you be following your kids around? Whatever makes them happy. You better be really careful with that, because who's in charge of your family? Number one, God. Number two, you, Dad, if there's dad in the home, hopefully. Number three, the parents, and not the kids. Now, you're primarily responsible for your kids' spiritual development, but if it's hurting them, if there's serious problems, then again, yes, start to work through it, but talk to people, engage the system, don't just throw it under the bus, go talk to people, make sure you're praying, and make sure you're getting godly counsel. And we could go on all day, Tim says. There are a few reasons for which you must leave a church and many for which you may. As a general rule of thumb, be very slow to withdraw your membership and leave a church only with the greatest of care in the utmost humility. It should not be we're done, we're going somewhere else. You don't just walk away like some cheap relationship, okay? When should I leave my church? This is from another blog I found. Are your pastors sinning? Okay, this should be obvious. To leave, does the church embrace false doctrines? You are not spiritually growing. You can't remain for social reasons. There's no doubt that leaving your church is hard to do, as you formed important relationships over the years. But you are willing to move on and form new relationships so you can meet more people and serve others. As long as we don't forsake our brothers and sisters in Christ, the decision is healthy. Here's another point. There is division. For example, if gossip, anger, and bickering are not being addressed in the church, it's time to move on. I'd agree with that. It's very unhealthy, very unbiblical. You don't respect your pastor. Have you been down that road? Here's what this one says. Pastors are human and they will make mistakes. We tend to put them on a pedestal of perfection, which is a really bad idea. However, if you feel you can no longer respect or be under church leadership, you need to pray on your next move. A good pastor, according to 1 Timothy 3:2, is an overseer, is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, really dynamic, really good in the pulpit, has a quick smile, has a way of cracking a joke, dresses sharp, and really is able to hold your attention. I added the rest of that stuff. Hopefully you know that. So that's the thing. You got to be really careful. That am I just going because are you following the trend? Well, everybody's going there. My friends John and Andy Irwin would call that FOMO, fear of missing out. Well, this other church is just happening, man. People are just flocking there. Wow. Well, now you're just like a bug chasing the next bright light. Oh, there's a brighter light over there. Let's go over there. So you got to make sure if you're going to think about leaving your church, you actually have some solid biblical grounds. And make sure you're fighting back against consumerism. Here's seven bad reasons. I'll finish with this. Your current church may have, if you're considering leaving the church you attend, there are a few things you may want to consider before making a leap. Because it's too small or too big. Not necessarily bad. You're not being fed. You got to be careful with that. Are you, by the way, doing anything to feed yourself? If you're a little baby, then you need help being fed. But once you get older, like milk to meat, thank you, Paul. Guess what? You should be feeding yourself. If you're only relying on your pastor and your church on Sunday morning in an hour to feed your development as a Christian, you are mailing it in. You need to begin to feed yourself. Don't put your laziness and lack of interest in the scriptures onto your pastor. You need to pick up a fork and dig in yourself. It's a great topic. We'll keep talking about it in the future. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.